The human being, the insan, his biggest objective in life is to attain forgiveness, salvation for the hereafter. That we human beings, that we, when we depart this world, we depart in a nice way, and we depart in this way that on our tongue we are reciting the kalima at the time of death, and in the heart is the nur, the light of the kalima, and our body is free from the sins. And in our ears the good news is being delivered that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. And in your destiny, in your future, Allah Ta'ala has recorded paradise. These points, these sketches that I've just mentioned, they are summarized in one word, which is success at the time of death. Whoever attains these things, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, in the hereafter, if he gets all of these things from the time of death onward, and he gets these feelings and sights, may Allah Ta'ala give all of us this success. These are moments of acceptance. It's a good time we're sitting in at the moment, a very blessed time. So then it will be said that this person attained success. He attained salvation. He'll forget all of the problems of the world, the dunya, the difficulties, the issues, the problems, the worries in this world. Within a second, he will forget all of that, and he will have attained his objective, his mission, and this is called success for the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many ahkams, many orders, and the objective why Allah ta'ala gave us ahkams is that we implement the ahkamat that Allah has given, and we attain success. If we pray salah, it will give us success. If we are lazy with prayer, if we leave prayer, neglect prayer, then we'll realize after death that after death we are far from success and far from forgiveness and far from salvation. If we pray salah properly, then we'll get proper forgiveness for the hereafter. And our lifestyle tells us that how much do we practice the hukam, the ahkams Allah has given to us. How much effort do I make? How weak am I? How lazy am I? My lifestyle itself will tell me, because my objective is salvation. Along with salah is fasting. And fasting, Allah Ta'ala gives us the hukum of fasting. That when he measures the fast, he sees that how well did this person fast? Or how badly did this person fast? When he passes away and sees the reward, he will see the value of his fast. In the same way, all the other ahkamat, zakat and hajj, hajj is lazim. If you're able to. Apart from this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us many paths to salvation, small paths, so-called minor paths, and direct. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this person's gained salvation due to this deed. In the same way, related to this, there's a hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, very minor on the outward, on the outside when we listen to it, but it leads to salvation, forgiveness. Man samata naja. These are the words of the hadith. What a great statement. What a great, great piece of news for a person if he accepts this hukam. If a person implements this minor statement of the Holy Prophet, but a big guarantee of najat, salvation. You understand najat? Salvation? That's what I've just said to you in the last few minutes. Easily laughing, smiling, the person will walk into paradise. So today Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance. This hadith has come to us. It's arrived to us. It's reached to us. Just like we practice on other ahkams, orders of Allah. If we practice on this, then inshallah the doors for salvation, forgiveness will open. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very small statement. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person, whichever individual remains silent regularly, remains silent, he adopts silence as a habit, then he has attained salvation. Subhanallah. What a great piece of advice. Why? Because silence, what does silence mean? The tongue between our jaws. All of the sins, the root of sins, if you take the big percentage of the root of sins is due to the tongue. When we sleep, the tongue is silent, isn't it? It doesn't speak. So many sins a person is safe from during sleep. Soon as we wake up, then where do the sins emanate from? They arise from. Soon as the tongue waggles and moves, then the sins start to accumulate. And they start to total up during the day. So Rasulullah has given us a solution. Stay silent as much as possible. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has given us a verse that when the human being speaks and his tongue moves, then Allah says, I have made a recorder present. Soon as he speaks, the recorder, he seals those words on the tablet. on the book of deeds, the book of recordings, the book of sayings of that person. As soon as he speaks, it's recorded. When we go to the hereafter, Allah will say that on this day, at this time, you said this. You spoke to your friend, you said these words. You spoke to this person, you said these words. Just like I'm speaking now, everything's being recorded. Alhamdulillah. So if I'm silent, you're silent, you're not speaking, you're all saved from the sins. But I'm speaking, so everything I'm saying is being recorded. Allah has made a connection. Allah said in the Quran that I have apportioned a person to record every single letter uttered by the tongue of every single human being in the world. Subhanallah. So if we from today become habitual in remaining silent, then it's a great ibadah with Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace. Allah gives guarantee to the person who lives a life mostly in silence, then he will get salvation, forgiveness, and he'll go to the hereafter free from majority of sins. And it looks hard. It looks hard. Oh, how can I stay silent? How can I not speak? I'm used to it. You have to control yourself. Bit of exercise, self-restraint and control. Of course, if we stay silent all day long, we can't live in the dunya. We have to live in the world. We have to use our tongue. We have to speak. We have to communicate. There are three levels of kalam, speech. Three levels. One kalam, speaking of a person, is for the sake of dunya, to live and get around in the dunya. Okay, we have to do that. In which there's benefit for the dunya. How is there benefit? For example, I'm stood at my business place and I'm speaking customers, clients. I'm not swearing. I'm not abusing. I'm selling my stock. I'm speaking. I benefit the people who are coming to me for the wealth. Or at home, I'm speaking and I need to tell someone to go and get something, speak to a family member, and it's benefiting me worldly, or the other person. Without that, I cannot get by. So that is the kalam, which is for the dunya, living in the dunya. That doesn't come under, you have to stay silent. One is speaking for the hereafter. When we speak for the hereafter, and what's in that? That, for example, I'm saving the speech for the hereafter, rewards. I'm giving someone nasiha, advice, tabligh, propagating deen, speaking good, preventing bad. So this is all for the akhirah. So that's also jais, and that doesn't come under the banner of you have to stay silent. You have to stay silent. So this isn't the meaning that you're stood at home, you're sat at home, or you're speaking to someone, oh, I'm silent, I'm not talking to you because I want forgiveness. No. Or you're at workplace or at your shop and you say, no, I'm staying silent. The customer says, I need to buy these things. You say, no, be quiet. This is not the meaning of silence. So when it's for the benefit of akhirah or dunya work, no silence. So what is the Prophet I'm saying? You have to observe silence. That silence where there's no benefit in the world or the akhirah, and you keep on moving your tongue for the sake of it. This is called speaking wasteful talk. Wasteful talk, no benefit for you living the life in this world, nor is it benefiting you this speech for the akhirah hereafter, but you keep on talking, chatting, speaking, wasting time, other people's time. So 5 minutes if I give you and you analyze that from these three levels, which level category have I spoken more in today? Speak truth to yourself. Person, if he analyzes his deeds during the day, some people they like, they say, oh, quick, listen to me. Oh, you know, I haven't seen you for a long time. What are you doing? What's happening? What's going on? Do you know this person, that person? Even in the masjid, inside the door of the masjid, you hear people, are you okay? TikTok, what's happening? You've seen that person? You hear what he said? You hear what happened today? We forget that dua of entering into the masjid whilst we're talking to someone, salatu wasalam, durood sharif. No, we want to have a chit chat. So this is the fitna of today. A big facade. So for this reason, Rasulullah man samata, that a person who controls his speech, which is the futile speech, wasteful speech, he has attained salvation. Just like when you pray, you attain salvation. So what a great amal this is, isn't it? What a great practice to cut out the wasteful talk. So let's analyze that. Yeah, this is correct. Why should I speak without any reason? I'm wasting my energy. I'm wasting the use of my tongue. I don't know what I'm talking about. For hours, we'll have a chat with a person. There's no use for that. And you're wasting time at the same time. Wasting time. So one is speaking wasteful. Secondly, you're wasting time that in a second, within a minute. I'll give you an example. That this tongue, if we just move it for one reason, subhanallah, say subhanallah, subhanallah. What rule do we get in the hadith? The Prophet ﷺ said that this amal of saying subhanallah, that the deed, the scale of deeds is filled by 50% when a person says subhanallah. Allah's karam and mercy, that the kalamats He's given to us, that the half the scale of your deeds is filled when you say subhanallah. So imagine, today we spend so many hours
futile, wasteful talk. And how many times have I said Subhanallah? If I'd said Subhanallah in replace of that, would I be swearing half the day, or would I say be saying Subhanallah and Kalamats during half the day? So when we say words that have dirty meanings, dirty effects, and due to the mahol, the environment that we live in, our children, they swear and they say bad things. But it's good that if we say good from our word, from our mouths, Subhanallah, what a person attains. So we need to exercise a bit of control. If we control our minds and our brains and our thoughts and our actions, Allah says all of the amal you do in the world, they will give you so many stacks of rewards in the hereafter and in paradise. A person can earn so much paradise from the amal. Apart from the faraid that we do, we can earn so much just by using the tongue correctly. So for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, the person who controls the piece of flesh between his jaws, and he promises, okay, I'm not going to talk wasteful talk, I'm not going to chit chat, I'm not going to waste. Are we going to promise this, brothers? Say inshallah. Practice this from today. Practice this way. If you keep saying to people, oh, how are you? Which house is yours? How much have you got? What have you not got? You're sitting in a circle of people. 4, 5, 6. The seventh person, and he phones. Where do you live? Where's he gone? Do you hear about that person? Do you hear what happened to that person's family? This person doing this, that. In our families, we say we're going to do dhikr. Then when we come back from the masjid, then, for example, there'll be a people linked together. They're going to do dhikr, and they link up with each other, and then they have a chit chat. This is a very bad thing, that when people come to the masjid for the sake of Allah, why are you creating links with people? Oh, I want to make a link with this person. Get his number and this person's link and that person's profile, etc. So that we can have a chit chat. No, no, don't create links with people for the sake of the dunya. If you come into the house of Allah, create the link for the sake of Allah. The more links you make, the more contacts you make, the more complications you get in your life. We think, oh, I'm a social beast and I'm wanted and people like me, but your life will become hard. The more you share your number, the more you share your contact details, the more complications you get in life. The less you will sleep, the more people ridicule. What are you doing? You're sleeping? Oh, forget sleeping, wake up. I was going to tell you something today. Then half an hour you will have a chit chat and you will accumulate the sins. The Holy Prophet told us a beautiful woman, Man Samata, that if you want to attain najat, then observe silence. And the Prophet said that I will intercede for you to get you forgiveness. It's not hard. Is this hard? Okay, you have to get up for salah, you have to go to do wudu, go to the masjid, you have to start the car, drive to the masjid, you have to spoil your sleep. There are many restrictions that take over our ease and our comfort. We have to do mujahidah in life, we have to make effort. The more effort you make, the more success you'll get. And those people are the people who succeed. This is a very easy deed compared to praying, waking up in the morning and hardships of practicing. Silence is very easy. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to use no muscles or your body. Rasulullah has given us a merciful practice, which is to remain silent. That we say, no, I want to pray tahajjud, and I will look at other people, that if I pray tahajjud, if I pray this much nawafil, and etc. Forget that. Pray 5 times salah, compulsory, and then practice such deeds that we're discussing today, silence, and you'll get to the highest levels of paradise. We're not capable today that all day long we pray and we read Quran all day long and we tajud. We know we're weak physically and nafs is there. Just do amal on the formulas of the Prophet. If we grab hold of this today, we promise Allah, from today we are not going to use our tongues for wasteful talk. We're not going to go meet people. If we meet people, it'll be for work or business dunya, which benefits me and that person, or we'll meet and talk for the akhirah. Otherwise, the third category of speaking, no. So, in terms of business, for example, you don't have to lick up to someone, oh, I want to sell my house, I need to sell my stock, and I have to go in and run after people and make them friends of mine so they'll give me money. No, you don't need to do this. Tawakkal Allah. If you need to speak to someone, if Allah Ta'ala wants to send someone to you for your worldly benefit, that person will come to you. You don't need to run after people. Trust Allah. Don't run after people begging from people. So first point is this, that let's be cautious and prevent ourselves from speaking wasteful talk, and inshallah we'll get forgiveness. So this is ibadah. This is ibadah, to control the tongue. It's a very big field in Islam to observe silence. It doesn't come easily. So how do we get to this level? The Prophet ﷺ said that I'll tell you what to do so you can observe silence. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Rasulullah ﷺ was so merciful on the ummah. He said, it looks hard for you, difficult. You're thinking in your minds that how can we be silent? I'm too used to speaking. But the Prophet ﷺ said, I'll tell you a way. If you practice this formula, then you'll observe silence. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, what a great sahabi. And from one hadith, the muhaddithin have extracted thousands of benefits. This one hadith in the Kitab of the Hadith, and many books have masail on just that one hadith. So this one hadith, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ gave him his final final nasiha. And Hazrat Muad said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me the final piece of advice so I can attain salvation. What a great companion he was. When he was departing Medina, the Prophet was walking with him, and he gave him the final nasiha. He had so much fikr that you've given me so much advice that you are more dear to me than my life. But I feel still in my heart, O Prophet of Allah, that tell me the final nasiha, because I'm afraid of the akhirah. I want to be saved. I want to be saved from hellfire, from the adab, the punishment. O Prophet, tell me such advice. Brothers, we need to think deeply. What a great sahabi, and he's desperate for najat. And we have no desire for najat today. We are so dry inside. We have no fear of death. We don't have a hair's breadth of fear that if death comes to me tonight, what answer will I give to Allah? No preparation for death. We waste time. We are afraid of other things in the world. If this doesn't happen, if this happens, I don't get on this time. If I get sick, home, and this and that. And no one from us today has whole fear that if the angels of death come to me now, how will I survive? How will I die in a good way? Everything, people will take my mal, my home. How will I survive? I'm protecting my home, my wealth, my money. I'm worried so much that when I die, my children won't care for me, people won't care for me. So what will happen to me in the hereafter? I swear by Allah, brothers, if we get this real fear in our lives, then the person will lose his sleep in the night when he's preparing for the hereafter, that nothing in this world is worth anything. That we need to start running towards the deeds that give us success. Now, I need to do something. I need to do something for the hereafter after I die. I need to prepare for the hereafter. So when a person has such fear inside him, in his mind, in his heart, he's so upset, concerned, he gets weak, he starts sweating. And Rasulullah has given this beautiful method that when you get fear of death, good news, Mubarak, congratulations, because your destination has unraveled. Your mission is there in front of you. You're not that person who's got no fear for death, for the hereafter, and people have to worry for you. No, when the fear of death comes into a human being, a mu'min, alhamdulillah, he becomes a unique individual. Then he doesn't care about anything in the world, just like the Sahaba Ikram. They never thought they were forgiven. They thought they were worse from the human beings. They were afraid. So the Prophet ﷺ encouraged them, gave them gratitude. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just do one action. Rasulullah ﷺ said, get to the court of Allah, do tawbah, repent to Allah, and you will succeed. You will succeed. What a beautiful formula. So today if we do tawbah, brothers, will we do tawbah? Repent. Days of Hajj are here. It's the night of Jummah. From today, Allah, I want to start my life afresh, new. I want to renew my life, Allah. Forgive my sins. Every breath I have committed, with every sin I've committed, Allah, with every breath, Allah, please forgive every single one. Brothers, do you all do tawbah today? True tawbah to Allah from the depths of our heart? Okay, that's good. So do tawbah, repent to Allah, and make one niyyah. Allah, I'll pray 5 times salah in congregation. In the masjid, it's a must. Don't fail on this action, because this is the biggest test for a mu'min. Many big so-called big shots, Muslims, they fail on this practice of prayer in jamaat. Allah doesn't look, 10 years you did this, 15 years you did this. Why did you leave this salah on this day in the masjid? Allah will ask. Yes, I gave you mind, akal, intellect, health, wisdom. Why did you leave this salah in the masjid? Allah will say, come now. And such big punishments lie await for that person who leaves one salah in the jamaat in the masjid. So let's promise today, Allah, that until I die, I will work hard on not leaving any prayer in the jamaat. I will give punishment to myself. I will punish myself to my nafs. No, I'm giggling with my teeth. Oh, nothing's happened. I just miss salah. No, my day should pass in such a way in darkness. Give sadaqah, give money, charity, pray nawafil, do astaghfar to Allah. If you miss the salah in the masjid, that I am Allah like a dead person, I've missed the salah in the masjid. Severe punishment I'm going to get. That one salah is going, no, it's only one salah. We say one salah. Is this a small favor? That Allah Ta'ala says that you've rejected one of my akams. You think this is a small thing? How can you continue to breathe easily? How can you not have a worry in the world if you leave salah in the masjid? How can you take food in through your throat into the stomach if you leave salah in the masjid? Then a person knows that he's got worry. So the sahaba, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me an amal. Please tell me you practice a deed that when I die, I can succeed at the time of death. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't just reply to him, he told the whole ummah, the whole nation of Islam. And this is the cure for bringing about silence. The whole cure, the whole solution for observing silence with the tongue. Rasulullah said, okay, listen to my final nasiha, that your salvation will occur, and whoever does amal on this, he will gain salvation as well. So brothers, will we do this? Make promise. What is that amal? What is that deed? Nabi Sallallahu said, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, do one action. Subhanallah. That when you are leaving this world, in other words, until death from now, this action of yours should be so sturdy, solid, regular, that when you're departing from this world, your tongue should be moist with the dhikr of Allah, with Allah's name, Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So this is the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Mufassirin, commentators have written that this is such a great advice that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to Mu'adh bin Jabal, that the dhikr of Allah, when a person does it regularly, then the first effect is on what? Is his tongue starts to get purified. He does dhikr of Allah, he stops swearing, and silly rubbish talk goes out of his life. He puts the padlocks on his tongue, shame and haya, modesty comes into his life. These are the effects of dhikr. Rather, a brother met me today after quite a long time. And I met him and I said, how are you? How's your life? I asked him his hal, his condition. I taught him dhikr. He learned dhikr from me. I said, I haven't seen you for a while. And he said, I was in another place. I said, are you doing dhikr? Is it benefiting you? What's happened? He said, Hazrat, benefit, if I tell you a beautiful benefit. I said, what benefit? He said, since you've taught me dhikr and I start doing dhikr in my life daily, one habit's come in my life. What? I said, he said, all my waste of time friends, I've left them. Subhanallah. He said, I've left my waste of time friends. And the rubbish way I used to spend and waste my time, he said, that a beautiful, unique specialities come in my life. I don't like those people who waste time. He said, I don't like the people who waste time. This is the effect of dhikr in my life. He said, brothers, can this habit come out of our life? He said, since I've tried dhikr, because dhikr has the effect. It has the practical effect that when you do dhikr from the tongue, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, this is dhikr from the tongue, jahr dhikr. A visible, loud, audible dhikr. Your tongue will be purified, cleaned, and then all of the wasteful activities in your day will start to be eliminated. All of the sins will come out of your life. You won't feel like it, that when the wrong actions you're doing in the day, they will start to be eliminated. As you continue to do dhikr, you focus more on the remembrance of Allah. When you do it more, then your attention and focus will go towards what? Alhamdulillah, good deeds, good people, good company. That's what you'll want. Automatically, Allah Ta'ala put this effect in his dhikr, in his remembrance. Even if you don't want to be remedied and to become a good person, automatically you'll become a good person. You'll speak good, you'll do good, you go to good places. So this is the effect of the dhikr done from the tip of the tongue. In the hadith is stated that as long as a person remembers Allah from his tongue, by using his tongue, as long as he does that, Allah keeps him saved and protected from the sins. He cannot commit sins. Yeah, will he backbite? How will you backbite if you're doing dhikr from your tongue? If you're reciting durood, how will you backbite? You'll be saved and protected as long as you're doing dhikr from the tongue. So as long as your tongue is doing dhikr, you are saved and protected from the sins. But the dunya we're living in, and a customer comes, you're talking at home, you're speaking to your wife, relatives, so you're using the tongue. There's danger of misusing the tongue. You're not doing dhikr at that time, you're speaking. So as long as you're doing dhikr from the tongue, it's useful. And you will be eliminated and protected from the sins. But there's still a danger of using the tongue in the wrong way. So the commentators have said that Allah Ta'ala has prepared a bigger tool, that if you stop doing dhikr from your tongue, you won't be safe from the sins. But if you do dhikr from the heart, then you are safe from all of the sins, whether you're speaking or not speaking. Every second of the day, you stood at your business place, your workplace, you're speaking with your tongue, but your tongue is repeating the name of Allah. Hand is in the dunya, and heart is towards Allah. So where's your heart? It's remembering Allah, your Lord. So it will prevent you from the sins all the time. Your heart becomes so habitual in remembering Allah that after using the tongue, if you remember Allah in the heart, that's where we should focus on the dhikr. May Allah Ta'ala give us a teacher who can revive our hearts. That's the real objective. That's the real dhikr of Allah. When you learn the dhikr of the heart, that's the high level dhikr. The high level, unique level of dhikr. Superior dhikr. Doesn't matter what you do in the world, you're working, employment, but your heart saying, Allah, 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 Allah. He will never be recorded as the people, the ghafileen, the lazy people. Even then when he's doing dhikr from his heart, he won't do wrong from his hands. He won't cheat anyone. He won't enjoy counting money. Rather, he'll just be thinking, when they're talking about work, or you think, okay, let's finish now. Let me go and do some more dhikr. Because inside, Allah's name has penetrated his heart. So that's what we need to do. Alhamdulillah, first we need to make our heart, tongues habitual in dhikr. After that, the next level is first make your tongues habitual in dhikr. Secondly, then teach the heart how to do dhikr. When the heart starts to do dhikr, Allah, 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 then his dhikr of the heart makes his eyes go close and he does maraqabah. That's a higher level of dhikr. Maraqabah, which is a person when his eyes are closed, he's whole body, his heart and everything, every second, he's remembering about Allah. Not just that, for example, when he does tasbih, dhikr with his tongue, he's still thinking about his shop, his business place, his friends, his family. But when a person does maraqabah and Allah's name is beat continuously in the heart, then everything he does, he says, he thinks it's Allah, Allah, Allah. All the time he's thinking about Allah, he's remembering Allah. This is very simple. Alhamdulillah, we practice this morning and evening. We close our eyes. So this is what we do every day. MashaAllah, you brothers should come as well and include yourself in this. Because if you don't walk, that Allah's given the hukam, aqimu salah, if you're lying on the mattress, then will you pray in the masjid? No, you have to get up, do wudu, take your car out of the drive, drive, get to the masjid, then you'll pray in the congregation jamaat, isn't it? That's when you can say you're a musalli in the masjid. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given hukam, if you want salvation, forgiveness, do dhikr in your tongue, in your heart. If you move and get to the masjid, there was a majlis, there's a gathering, and we'll get included in that gathering, because this is the ibadah, the worship action, that we can control our lives and our tongues and our speech. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us this formula. Automatically, the noor of the deen, Allah's name, will come to life. Allah guarantees when you depart this world, you leave with iman. If you control your tongue, and you can only control your tongue when you remember Allah in the heart. Alhamdulillah. So brothers, when you get an opportunity, you see morning, there's a majlis, maraqabah, silent dhikr, you come as well. Close your eyes. Allah, Allah, Allah. When you get more desire, say, Hazrat, teach me this dhikr so I can do it myself wherever I am. So it doesn't take long, does it? Alhamdulillah, we'll teach you. We'll teach you. Then automatically you can do dhikr when you're free, wherever you are. But our nafs today is so arrogant and so ignorant that nafs says, I swear I'm not going to let you go into paradise. Our nafs today's promise that I'm going to drag this man inside who I am into hellfire. Some people feel so much they want to do dhikr, but the nafs says, how dare you go and learn dhikr from him? No, no, no. What will the dunya say? What are you doing learning from him? No, no, no. You don't need to do this. Don't be mad. The nafs says, don't be mad. You don't need to do dhikr. But brothers, I say, don't be mad. Recognize your nafs. It will destroy you. I swear by Allah, if your eyes were open today. And for example, you prayed salah, and if you prayed in another masjid, you see you've got half an hour left, oh, zikr is happening in that masjid, let's go, they will sit, do zikr, take your car, drive it, come sit down in maraqabah. Allah will love that man so much, you cannot imagine how much Allah will love you if you do this action. If you run and hasten to the zikr of Allah, I tell you, if we were to speak the detail, how much Allah loves the dhakirin, these hadith, this is for us. Those people who leave the dunya, no one tells them, reminds them, automatically in their heart, they yearn. Oh, let's go. Today's majlis, there's dhikr, there'll be maraqbah, we'll say that, definitely we'll speak to Allah. Allah will Allah leave that person empty-handed, without reward? Subhanallah, Allah says, I love that person. I love that person. And I'll allow that person to play in the dunya with nice things in the dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, I love those individuals, remember me. So brothers, will we all do these good actions? Inshallah. Have love for dhikr. Dhikr is a guarantee for a person's good death. Sins will be out of your life. Najat, salvation will come. And dhikr will come in your tongue, in your heart. Qalbi dhikr, maraqbah. Alhamdulillah, all of the affairs of your life will become easy. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif. When a person recites Durood Sharif, that Durood is presented. Allah Ta'ala presents that Durood. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ is told that this person, son of this person, has recited Durood Sharif to you. And within a second we get this reward, because we've come, we've sat in a majlis, and we get the company of somebody good, and Allah gives us this reward. That's why there's benefit of such a gathering.
وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا قديرا غزيرا غزيرا اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنه مع الابرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين Allahumma inna lahu zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika ya qadi al hajat ikta hajatina ya dafi al balayat itfa balayatina ya shafi al amrad ishfa muradina Allahumma afina fi badni Allahumma afina fi sami Allahumma afina fi basri Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata ayyan waj'alna lil muttaqina imama Allahumma rammirhum huma kama rabbayani saghira Allahumma اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Oh, yeah.